Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. This is going to be an extra super special Christmas edition that lasts like 30 seconds.
We did a lot of prep for this.
So much prep. As in, if we don't do it, how will I tell everyone I'm not going to blog for 2 weeks? So I guess consider this your announcement. I don't know if I'm going to blog or not, but I'm probably not going to blog tomorrow. Because I'm really stressed.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a lot to do this week. So somehow I feel like the fact that there's a, like, COVID was supposed to make everything simpler, especially since, like, apparently the entire world is shutting down again, except for...
Is everything shutting down again?
Well, Canada is shutting down on Christmas Eve.
Oh my goodness, I guess. Really?
Yeah.
Why?
So... Well, because of COVID.
I just think it's... Okay.
Okay. Let's not get political, shall we?
I'm very soon beginning to become... Was it red pill on this? Or...
No, I don't know. I've been hearing people saying white pill, but I don't know what that means.
Whatever the pill is you take that makes you think the whole thing is getting to be ridiculous, that's the pill that I've...
I mean, yeah. Anyway, it hasn't made my life simpler. If we were going to shut down, well, we are not shutting down, I guess, but if America was going to needed to shut down like 3 weeks ago, so didn't even have to deal with Christmas at all. Right. But I have to figure out how, I have to go to Joanne's Fabric, which is a place that smells like they pump in holiday pumpkin smell and it makes me sneeze, which I love to do in a mask. Like, it's horrible, horrible, deeply horrible smell.
What is it?
And the lighting is bad in there. I hate going there.
Is it like pumpkin spice smell or is it?
I don't know. It's like manufactured holiday scent. And they pump it through the air ducts, which, you know what? I bet that causes COVID. I bet that it's like scents of other things that actually cause COVID. I'm going to propagate a theory online. I have to figure out a way to veil or make the angels look, for the pageant, look like they
are veiled instead of masks.
Yeah, I don't want to do, I'm not going to have a lot of little kids in masks. I think that looks dumb. So I'm working on the Tuareg look for Kings, which actually looks super cool.
Did you do it that easily?
I've practiced a little bit. This is actually the biggest problem I have. And of course, Mary and Elizabeth look great. Totally veiled, like,
yeah,
it's very appropriate. And this year I'm making Mary walk 3 steps behind Joseph. Oh.
in
well, because they should
pure
walk
Mideastern style.
Yes. We're going like full bore social distance, because you know what, they wouldn't have even seen, like, anyway. It actually, the pageant is gonna look great. People should watch it online.
We will be live streamed.
We will Facebook. Be live streamed, but I don't know what I'm going to do about the angels, because I'm pretty sure that they weren't actually veiled when they came to the shepherds. So I was thinking about like sparkly gauze so that you couldn't even see their faces at all.
I hate this thing. This is ridiculous.
I also have to figure out candles. Like, we want to put candles because we're using the whole church, which affects the lighting. Like, it's actually going to look cool, but the lighting questions are, I have to go out and look for candles today, as well as just hundreds of other things that I have to do.
All this was made much easier by the 41-inch snow that we had on Thursday. Shopping.
Yeah, that set me behind 3 days.
We couldn't go out. The first day, we couldn't get out.
I had like this strict schedule, and yeah, the snow blew it away. And so,
you know, I every year
I'm scrambling now. I'm super scrambling.
Right. So back in 2017, we had 31-inch snow, and I remember, you know, because I'm from Texas, I know this intellectually, but I don't know it in my soul, that you need the day it's snowing to get out and do the shoveling. You don't wait to the next day.
Like, you shovel it as it comes down.
You shovel it as it comes down, and then you don't let it sit for a day. before you start shoveling because mm-hmm. it turns to ice. Mm-hmm. I know that. I know that in my mind.
But you don't
But in my heart, I say, it's you know like what?
The
I can
way
do
that, it tomorrow. The way that Satan knows Jesus, right. That's how you understand the snow situation.
And so you basically have to have an ice pick to get out by the second day. So that was really fun. Mm-hmm.
Our poor children worked really hard.
They did.
Our sons were shocked. They've never worked that hard in their lives. They kept coming.
It's like that butterfly meme where you had butterfly coming and landing on this on the person's. Is this work? Is this work?
Yeah. Is that what's happening here? Yeah, that's definitely what happened.
Especially our second son. If both of our sons have a little idiosyncrasies, but our second son, you know, since he's been a small child, you give him any chore, like go do something, and wherever the place is you've told him to go, you'll walk in 5 minutes later, he's like lying on the ground. he would just lie down. He did that to like, he's like 12.
He was doing that. He does his schoolwork that way. He lies in a chair to do his schoolwork, and he's so prone, like you almost can't see him in the chair because like he's so deeply embedded in the chair.
So sloth is like his besetting sin. No, but
he does work. He does his schoolwork.
No, schoolwork, but like when you ask him,
and he just takes the garbage out. He's real sweet. He's a real sweet guy.
Yeah, but he's also.
Well, he doesn't have, lazy. Like, get up and go for the physical things, which, you know what? Frankly, neither do I. I mean, you know what? I'm writing about virtue signaling, which I'm going to send off today, finally. I've sat on this thing. I wrote it, actually, a long time ago. I just can't push send. And I realized, here's what's wrong with everyone, first of all. Because the way the parenting has changed is that, like, parenting is all about letting other people know that you're a good parent too. Virtue signaling has changed everything, and I've resisted this so sternly because the way of parenting now is to tell other people good things about your kids, whereas I really deeply believe that the only way to talk about your children is to tell people, like, funny the questionable things about them. Like, there are nice things about our children, and many people who've met them like them pretty well, but there is no way that I'm going to spend actual breath explaining to other people how wonderful they are. Like, do you remember that back in the day, parents didn't tell other parents about the loveliness of their own kids?
I mean, I don't know, because I didn't. That's probably when we didn't have children. But
I'm pretty sure your mother never did that. Your mother has always told me, like, wonderful, funny, and terrible things about you from the get-go. Like, obviously, she loves you very much, but she has always been like, oh, Matt, he's so lazy and terrible. He's such a bad person. We love him so much. And I feel like that's the model. You should let other parents off the hook, because if you go out and say, my kids are so great, they did this, X, Y, Z, then the other person whose kid didn't do that is like, oh, shoot, I have just so failed. Whereas if you go right. out into the world and say, you know what, my kids were just the absolute, it was the pits. And
you let other parents off the
hook. Yeah, then they're like, oh, at least my life isn't as bad as hers. Or they say,
wow, she's really bad.
Well, that's probably what
my children are actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
She must be a terrible parent.
Yeah, that's probably what happens. So, anyway, this podcast isn't about parenting or virtue signaling.
What is this podcast about?
I think we should give, like, you know, what are our top, what is our top happy thing.
This is show prep on air live.
What was your favorite part of COVID this week?
Well, we could like talk about Christmas and stuff like coming up. And
yeah,
today is the winter solstice.
Oh yeah, that's what you were doing. You were reading how much sunlight people are getting around the world today.
Yeah, So,
and in Barrow, Alaska, apparently they're not getting any.
no,
Is
yeah,
it
no,
Barrow?
yeah. It's,
Like, there's no sun today at
right.
all for you
No sun
all.
for you.
No
And
sun
the in Nome, Alaska gets about an hour of sunlight. And then in St. Petersburg, Russia, the sun comes up at 10 a.m.
and then
and
goes
goes down
down
at
at 3:30.
3:30 or something. Yeah. So that's all horrible. God really, I mean, I
I
know
think
that
God is angry with those people up there.
they must have done something. Well, actually, I've never understood why anyone built any settlement in Russia
Why blame God?
or
You didn't
up
have to
or
go
above.
live there.
Right, he gave us like
It might not be
huge
God's
swaths
fault.
of warm sunlit lands where you can plant things all year round, but
But no, we
we
will
insist on
travel through the snow on our sleds and
It's
we will build a house. And
like
then
that,
we will massacre the peasants. Isn't that St. Peter's?
right.
Don't you feel like.
That's what what was that cartoon with God looking down and he's asking the angel, probably Gabriel, what are they doing down there? And Gabriel said, they're making milk out of almonds.
Yeah, that's
He
right.
said, God
But
is
I gave them
like,
15 ways to have
I
milk.
gave him like seven animals to produce milk.
They don't
Why?
like that milk. They
Well.
wanted to press almonds instead of eating the
I bought
almonds.
almond eggnog
Why?
just to
When?
see, because I want I make my own eggnog every day for myself.
I saw that. I saw you, like, it took me a few days because I'd see you in the kitchen, like, stirring in your little cup. Actually, your big cup. And I thought, what are you doing? And then I realized you're making daily eggnog for yourself without mentioning to anyone. You did tell my mother yesterday. She's like, I'm really sad I haven't had any eggnog. And you're like, well.
just take one egg, crack it into a cup, you whisk it really, really well. Don't under whisk it or else it'll like you'll
Yeah,
have it
it'd be
streak.
disgusting.
Yeah, and then you put some I put my fake sugar in and then a real nutmeg, which you can get those
Great.
great, yeah, and then you get some vanilla and then heavy cream, about
Well,
an
yeah,
inch of heavy
no one,
cream,
okay.
and then milk, and you stir it all together. And if you know, you can put some brandy in there or some bourbon if you want to, but then I actually don't. I just so every day it's been nice. So I tried this, but it's pretty calorie rich.
Yeah.
So I thought,
Your
let me try. I can't figure out why I'm gaining weight. So let me try this
Oh, almond milk.
almond milk
How was
eggnog. It
it?
was horrible. It was awful. I mean, it's thin. It's like water with a really bad taste in it, and like it's like skim. It's like skim milk, except not as good.
That's brilliant. It sounds vile. I
is
mean,
it is vile.
I well, no, but I mean eggnog in general. I think the idea of eggnog is really, really repulsive.
You just buy you I made you so some of the best eggnog in the world before. I use
Yeah, but I
you
don't
don't
like it.
why don't you like it?
I don't like sweet. I really don't like anything sweet. But I also don't like anything bitter. And I don't. Although, you know what it is? I have actually started drinking coffee without sugar in it at church. Just like bitter coffee with cream.
Really? Why?
I
That's
don't
a
know.
huge change for you. You
Yeah, I
like
don't
it?
know. Well, I don't really like it, but now when I have anything with sugar in it, I feel sort of shocked.
You like cake. You eat cake.
I did eat some cake yesterday.
Don't tell me you don't like sugar.
Like sugar.
You eat cake all the
I
time.
don't eat cake all the time. My parents are constantly making cake.
Your daughter's making cake all the time too.
I'm like, first of all, it's so great because somehow we just don't cook on Sunday anymore. We just go to my mother's, which is like the best thing in the world. But she says to me at the 8 o'clock service every Sunday in this like anguished way, "What are we gonna have for dessert?" I think we're not gonna have anything for dessert.
We don't make
We
dessert,
don't
no.
need dessert. But so the yesterday, she said, "Oh, well, I'll just make spaghetti. I'll just And when we got there, there was a huge cake. She had made like a massive cake.
Well, that's what your parents, because your parents have, they eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day.
They don't eat dinner anymore.
Oh, they don't?
They're doing the, I think this is great. They were saying their new way is to do the, you know, feast like a king at breakfast, eat like a prince at lunch, and eat like a pauper at night, which means that they eat little bowls of cottage cheese at night.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah. It's as insane as your eggnog habit, actually. Just here's my little bowl of cottage cheese.
Well, eggnog is not cottage cheese. Eggnog is delicious. Cottage cheese.
I mean, cottage cheese can be delicious, you know, in the right quantities at the right time.
Right. Well, but see, we do like one big meal a day. That's what we, our eating style is perfectly fitting into intermittent fasting.
Oh, yeah. Cause you just, I was going to say to be a farmer, but no.
No, you can have one big meal and that's it. And you're fine.
It's great. Yeah, I can't do that though. I have to eat more often. I have to lose weight too.
This is like the Seinfeld.
The nothing thing.
This is like the Seinfeld. Yeah.
I thought we were going to do, we should do a Festivus before the end of the year, like a Festivus, things we hated about 2020, but that shouldn't be today because of Jesus and Christmas and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I am really sad about the amount of COVID weight I have gained. And it's partly because of the cake and partly because it's hard for me to care at all anymore.
I don't notice any weight.
Oh, that's good. And partly because my child has been somehow trained to come up here every day at like 8 o'clock and ask me if I want an egg in the morning. And so if I wake up and think, okay, I'm going to do the stupid eating window. When she looks soulfully into my eyes and asks me if I want an egg,
I'm sure she'd be okay if
on
said
sausage.
No.
I'd be like, okay, well, for you, I'll have an egg, and then it's done. I might as well just keep eating for the rest of the day. So.
Yeah. I'm gaining weight for the first time in a long time, too. So maybe I'll cut back on that.
I think we should do Christmas. That right now, like, as we're heading into 12 days of Christmas. That was a good time to lose our COVID weight. What else are we gonna do?
I'm gonna write a sermon for Christmas Day.
Oh,
so this is the beauty of having two pastoral assistants. Is one is preaching the Sunday after Christmas,
which is like 2 days after Christmas.
See, if I had to preach the Sunday after Christmas plus Christmas, it would be like, it would be terrible. This week would not be helpful. But I just have one sermon to prepare like normal, and the problem is though. Christmas Day readings is, you kind of have to preach. I feel like you will kind of have to preach in the gospel. You know, I'm preaching like,
on the psalm.
Does it mention Jesus?
I mean, it's about all Jesus. Of the Bible is about Jesus.
I know it's about Jesus.
I know,
people on Christmas Day don't want to hear a typological sermon about how Jesus is really in the psalm. They want to hear about little baby being born in the manger.
Do they?
I mean, I do. I go to church on Christmas Day. I don't want to hear about my pastor talking about the depths of Isaiah 60 or something. I wanted to talk about Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And so,
you know what? People
cut me off before I go. Go ahead.
When they go to church on Christmas, they want to hear the pastor's feelings about Christmas.
That's right.
And his childhood.
3 points on what Christmas means to me.
Yeah, and what I felt as a child, or Star Wars. Some people want to hear about Star Wars on Christmas.
Right.
What I like best about Christmas is how Baby Yoda was in the manger.
So, what was that? The Liquid Church that did that?
Yeah,
they had this. They had the Star Wars in the manger,
and the guy and the pastor dressed up as
Han Solo.
Han Solo.
He didn't look like Han Solo.
No, he didn't.
But what I was going to complain about, which you interrupted me before I sort of got my complaint out.
Sorry.
Was it the gospel lectionary at the ACNA Sunday, or I'm sorry, for Christmas Day, gives you three choices for the gospel. You either have John 1, or you have Luke 1, the first part of it about birth of Jesus, or the second part of it about the shepherds. And why I for the life of me, I can't figure out. I think the Episcopal Church did this too. Why are you cutting out Matthew? Why can't you have Matthew's part of the Christmas story?
You know,
that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why they did that.
You know that that you could just call the secretary and ask for her to substitute the Luke for the Matthew.
I know.
It's not like a COVID law. Like, Andrew Cuomo isn't going to come here and be like, you didn't preach on Luke.
Hmm. Well, I know, but we're going to have music for Christmas Day. And I know that...
Why don't you interweave the two?
Huh?
Intermix them.
Just do both. Like, meanwhile...
Back in Nazareth. I don't know what you're going to do.
Oh, no. Here comes the furry
This one can't get up anymore without...
We have two dogs, and one of them is still young and is able to come up from the bed. The other one just looks at us.
Actually, now when I'm in here alone, he goes into the office to tell you that he wants to get on the bed because I don't get up and put him on anymore. He knows that you're the person who has to do it. So he's also gained some COVID weight.
It's pretty heavy.
And the 41 inches of snow, incidentally, didn't help our house cold because they just sat and looked out at the snow and then turned around and waited until we turned our backs and went down to the basement. Right. What? They're like, one of them looks like a Muppet. I'm excited. My favorite service of the year is probably Christmas Day.
It usually is a good, quiet...
It's so nice. First of all, because no one...
That's a really horrible thing. Never Christians are listening to that.
I mean, it's like an 8 o'clock service, but I don't really have to do anything after it. That's right. What it is. Because at 8 o'clock, I love the 8 o'clock service regularly at church, but I'm waiting, you know, at the end of 8 o'clock, I have to run around like a crazy person. Whereas on Christmas Day, I just go to church and then I go home, and it's really, really, it's like magical. It's the magic of Christmas. My feelings of towards Christmas have softened this year, because normally I hate it with the fierce hatred of burning thousand suns. But, and I love Advent, but this year I don't care anymore. My house looks like Hallmark threw up on itself. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I don't have like, I mean, what are we going to do? We can't go anywhere and no one's coming over. Well, my parents are coming over. But,
what do you mean, what can we do?
Like, I really like it when people come over to our house for Christmas, but nobody can. And so I'm just going to sit in a chair and watch you drink eggnog. And it's fine. I'm totally fine with it.
Well, we're going to eat good food. We're going to have like a big roast beef and a goose, maybe, if you can afford it. And,
But I mean, my expectations are so low already. Like, the only thing I'm stressed about is the pageant. I'm not stressed about anything else. Like, everything has been beaten out of me.
Yeah, I don't think it's because you become a more spiritual person. I think it's because you're dead inside.
Yeah. COVID. Yeah, I'm dead inside because of COVID. And so I'm excited about Christmas this year. That's what I'm saying. What are you gonna read over the Christmas break? Or watch?
I'm reading right now the second half. So I've listened to the abridged version of Ian Kershaw's biography of Hitler, and the abridged version was like 40 hours.
My gosh.
But that was taking two volumes and compacting them into one, cutting out some really helpful information. So now I'm reading on the second volume of the full version, and that second volume is 36 hours.
You know what I feel like I don't know enough about?
Hitler. I just want to make sure that when I call people Hitler online, I know what I'm talking about. You're literally Hitler.
You are literally Hitler. And I know. The two things that I know about Hitler, I know because of what she ate. And I know that because Eva Braun made sure that he was always happy with his food.
He liked cake.
He liked cake and champagne. So he would have unlike me, I am not literally Hitler, and
you do like
so. No, I don't actually, even like cake.
You no, you
I
do
just
like
eat
cake.
It out of a sense you, of obligation. No, wait,
this you are you. No, no. You. I didn't even think about this. I didn't make this connection. You like cake, and champagne is probably one of your favorite.
Yeah, I do love champagne. Drinks. Why so, am I not drinking you know champagne who else while
you're champagne
yeah.
and cakes?
Hitler. Ergo, wait. I feel like we've just done every single internet conversation that's happened in the year of 2020. Like, we just managed to do it. We just... Well, now it's your turn to ask me what I'm reading.
Oh, I'm not finished though.
Oh, okay, go on.
I've managed, like, you last year I was doing Lord of the Rings too fast, so I finished it before Christmas, but now I've slowed myself down, so I'm still on the Two Towers, which is good. And I'm really upset with you. I think I said this in front of our family.
Yeah, you did.
But I'll say it in front of the public too. That when we were dating and then when we got married, I made an effort to read the books that you had on your shelf because I love you and I want to know what makes you tick and I want to know more about you.
Okay,
so
can
I read lots of books that I would not have read because I'm not they don't interest me. Like Jane Austen. I wouldn't read that.
That was more recent though. When we were
I need to interrupt you. And you picked up Lord of the Rings to try and do the same thing in return, but you couldn't make it through. Your love for me and desire to know who I am as a person is so weak and flaccid that it goes, you couldn't even get through half the book.
First of all, when you picked up all those books to find out more who I am, you managed to pick up all the books that I particularly didn't enjoy, like Crime and Punishment. And
I asked you before I read them, is this a book that I should read? So yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone should read it. Like, I thought you were asking in a cosmic sense, like, of course you should read it. Is it a book that I personally love and think you should read? No. But I'm interested in your overall goodness as a person.
I felt pretty close to you when I was reading.
Yeah, I know. You love... And then you read Sartre's, like...
Yeah.
Big fat thing that's so depressing.
Yeah. Was it on being or something?
Yeah. I mean.
Well, I thought when I got to.
I didn't have to read any books because I was cooking food for you. So.
But I'm just saying you don't care about
I feel
who
like
I am.
I do.
I read that book every year, so it clearly has a big impact the way I think, and the way I perceive reality, but. Don't worry about that.
I read Adrian Plass every year, and you don't read it.
I've read all Adrian Plass's stuff.
It's my Christmas thing, though, that I read it every year.
Yeah,
Christmas,
and I've read them.
But you don't read it every year.
Well, I'm not asking you to read Lord of the Rings every year. I'm asking you to read it once.
I did. I read The Fellowship of the Ring, and I read half of Two Towers.
Yeah, so you haven't read it, then.
It's just so long. And it's also the background of our lives, because you always have it playing in the background. Like, I've heard... most of it already.
You haven't.
Yeah, I really
you
have
your earphones in.
Well, now, but
anyway,
I can't believe you're going to interrupt.
That you don't love me as much as I love you.
Okay,
and that's fine. Some couples are like that, but at least you're faithful to your vows.
Okay, well, that's not true, but I have no proof of it right now. Yes, because I'm literally Hitler.
Enjoy your cake and champagne.
I mean, I guess at some point before I die, I'll finish the Two Towers. But I can't believe you think I should read the last one, which is like interminably long.
How
as
do you
they
know?
Go
you
to Mordor.
It.
They just keep going and going and then.
How do you know? You haven't read it.
I've seen all the movies and I've
no,
heard
the movies,
like.
No, you can't. No. I actually think one of the best parts of the book is the end of Lord of the Rings and the rescuing of the Shire, which is not included in the movie. And it's good. It's like, so if you read it, you know that's Tolkien's critique against communism/socialism and what it does people, the collectivization of...
Those are my favorite topics, socialism and communism. I spend a lot of time thinking about both of those things. Yeah. Well, this has been great. I'm not going to tell you what I'm reading because you don't even deserve to know.
I'll probably read it because I love you. What are you reading?
You're not going to read it. I mean, I think one of the values of being in a relationship, a monogamous lifelong relationship, is that you don't have to read all of each other's books. Like,
I'm not sure where that was written. We tell people every couple that we do premarital counseling for, we say, you need to spend time studying and getting to know who your marriage person is.
See, but if that includes me listening to 75 hours of book on Hitler so that I can more perfectly understand who you are, that's just not going to happen.
I didn't. This book is not as meaningful to me as Lord of the Rings is. So, see, even that professor you had in Cornell, he read the Bible, even though he wasn't a Christian, because he loved English literature so much. So he wanted to figure out English literature, so he read the Bible. Oh, yeah. And he didn't like it. I mean, he liked the Bible. He actually liked it.
Yeah, he really did like it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I did figure out
your love for me should be at least as much as your atheist professor's love for English literature.
Well, are you going to read a book that I actually really do love then? Because you haven't really read a book that I adore.
Do you adore Pride and Prejudice?
Yeah, but it's not like... It's not the thing that I... It's not the book that makes my heart sing. The book right now that is so amazing, and I raved about it at the beginning of last year, and I'm sure people didn't actually go read it, was The Towers of Trebizond. And you haven't read that yet. I'm going to read it again, actually. That's going to be... That's going to be the book I read every year, is The Tower of Trebizond, instead of Lord of the Rings, because it's a there and back again. The Towers of Trebizond. It's definitely a there and back again. And you don't throw the ring into Mordor, but you do take the camel up through the Russian steppes. And it's so great. It's such a wonderful book. I'm going to read that again. That's going to be the one I read every year. Okay. Okay, well,
Who wrote that?
Rose McCauley, I think. Really interesting person. So.
Well,
anyway, that's really all we have. I'm not even going to tell you what I'm reading right now because you don't deserve to know. That's what I was saying.
What are you reading right now?
Well, I started listening to The Pilgrim's Progress, which I know everybody loves, and it's such an important book.
I've always found it really hard to get through that book.
It is so hard to get through.
I have six hours left. I suppose, like, Alistair Begg loves quoting from it. Like, I
know.
I thought Alistair Begg's preaching, but in every sermon, he's gonna sing something. He's going to quote the song.
Yeah. Which is a drink. Progress. This is our drinking game. Drink.
Every time Alistair Begg. And it's either by the Beatles or
a hymn.
Right, right.
And he'll do the whole song. That's when you drink your eggnog back. I bet he would be really shocked to know that that's our drinking game.
Yeah.
But also The Pilgrim's Progress. I mean, I know I'm supposed to love this book, and I've read about how wonderful it is, but I'm only listening to it so that I can listen to The Pilgrim's Regress.
Oh, yeah. Who's that by?
Lewis.
Right.
Okay. And I was going to just skip The Pilgrim's Progress, but a person who knows said, don't do that. That's stupid. You won't get it. You have to do one before you can do the other. So I'm doing it. I'm being really holy. Mm. And I'm trying to do an antidote to the fact that I listened to like 6 P.G. Wodehouse books in a row on high speed.
You know, those books, I love P.G. Wodehouse, but you really don't. I mean, I love Wodehouse. But yeah. They're also a way just to totally not.
Okay, you are right now. You are literally Hitler. If you're gonna say anything like the thing that you're about to say, you are literally Hitler. You just stop that right now. So
you don't have to get, you're just in this alternate universe where everything's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything's funny and it's so you're totally escaping. So you're reading six books of P.G. Woodhouse in a row means you're completely living in a fantasy world for the rest. That was you were shutting out reality for.
Yeah. So what?
As opposed to like Barchester Towers or something, which is like funny and also he makes some commentary on.
I mean,
I guess it's also like Walter Scott, because Walter Scott also has a really weird, really weird world with very long sentences.
That was great. I don't know how much of that I can take. I also finished the new 44 Scotland Street book came out, and I listened to it in like 3 days. It was wonderful. And and Planet Narnia was great. Really liked that. I'm waiting for you to read that. If you really cared about me at all, you would have listened already to Planet Narnia. So
you can't turn this around on me. We've been married for 19 years and you haven't read the book that I love. Second, you just barely read the Bible. But
what do you mean I barely read the Bible? I read the Bible like every year or every other year. What are you talking about?
You ever make it through?
Yeah, I read the Bible a lot. You know what? But I don't have to get on. I don't have to get online and be like, "Hey, you guys, you know what I did today? I read the whole Bible." I just wanted you to know that again that I've read through the Bible 20 times because I'm so great. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna be like you.
I don't do that.
Yeah, every now and then you're like, "I just want everyone to know that I finished the Bible again. This is time number 27. I basically have it memorized now." Okay, I think that the hour of the podcast has come to an end, and since this one wasn't about anything,
to a merciful death,
all we can do is wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and probably a Happy New Year. I don't know if we're going to be back the day next Monday. We might be having a 2-week break.
Yeah,
but we'll have to see. Unless something happens,
you know, we make a great Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah, my book. You could, if you have some last minute shopping to do, please give my book away to your friends. But if you want to give me a present, if you love me, even if I'm literally Hitler, you could leave me a review on Amazon. I would love an Amazon review. That would be great.
I was going to do that, but
you're not allowed to.
I can if I change my name and this is a great book. This is. You've heard of Shakespeare, you've heard of
P.G. Woodhouse, you've heard of Tolkien. Well, right up there.
They are nothing compared to. But please, yeah, it'd be nice if somebody would leave an Amazon review. Because we need those. And I know you're this is a second edition book, so people who've read the first edition might think, well, this is the same thing. It's not the same thing, it's new.
It's new and improved.
And improved. And that means you need to read it and review it.
So. Yeah. You need to see if it's as good as old book.
Right. Exactly.
So.
And it does not, be very quiet.
Yeah, yeah. If it's not good. Just please be silent on that. So, well, anyway, Merry Christmas to you. And I hope that God strikes down COVID in the new year and that all our lives turn out to be golden unicorns. Thanks for listening.